It's good for us to be together, and I can just only testify every time, even though I'm not that fond of Zoom meetings, even if we have a Zoom meeting, when we're together, there's something that happens afterwards. I always feel edified. So, and I know God's going to edify us this morning, even just in our togetherness. But I also pray that the preach will do the same. So I want to talk to you about something that I believe God has laid on my heart, which I believe is for us, for the season, for His church, for His people. And my preach is entitled Walking with God. And I'm just going to try and explain to you where I want to go with this beforehand, so that you can maybe follow me better. Because it's always difficult, you know, when you spend time with God, I've been praying about what to preach for a while now, and then you get this revelation, and then you try and communicate it, and a lot of it's lost a lot of time. So I really trust God that He will help me in that revelation. If it's on His heart, and it's something He wants to build into His church and His people at this time, then He needs to help me with this, because I'm not going to be able to communicate all of this. But my preach is about, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. So what I'm trying to say or communicate is that God is much more interested in the quality of our relationship with Him than what we achieve or what we experience or where we end up in our journey here on earth. Okay, so that sounds pretty 101 Christian, but let me carry on with that. So our journey, if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, our journey starts. That's where our journey starts with God. We are saved. We become children of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are in a living relationship with Jesus. That's where our journey starts. So it's not just us that are going to heaven now, but we are born into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. We're saying a lot about this morning. I'll go into that a bit more later. Your destiny is to be in a relationship. That's your destiny. To become a son and daughter of Jesus. That's what you're meant to be. One day in heaven, you're going to be eternally with God, with the angels, praising Him, being in His presence. That's your destiny. On earth, before you go to heaven, you're also supposed to be in that relationship. It's not like there's a pause and one day you're going to have a relationship. That's your destiny. We are born to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or with the Father God, through Jesus Christ, with the Trinity. On earth, we have the opportunity to live our lives in faith as men and women of different life callings, duties. We are called to testify of this relationship through faith. It's something that's invisible to the world. We're serving an invisible God, but we live differently. And this testifies to the world and hopefully makes them jealous of what we've got. And to yearn for that relationship. Because every single person was made to long for that relationship. So that is not your destiny. That's your calling. What we do on earth is not your destiny. My destiny is to have a relationship with the Father. What I do on earth is just a calling. And what I want to go to today is because so many of us have made our calling, have tried to make it our destiny. And if that gets shaken, Henny's a teacher, a school headmaster. If that starts getting shaken, I start worrying about my whole spiritual walk. And that's where I'm going. So let me give you an example. I'll try and build on this a bit more. Let me give you an example. Adam and Eve. God made the first man. There's no sin. Adam. He made the help. Adam and Eve. They're in this garden, in this perfect world. In the cool of the morning, Adam walks with God. He's got this relationship. But look what God says in Genesis 2, verse 15. God says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of the garden." So God didn't just make Adam to sit at his feet all day. He was taking care of the garden. In the morning, he was walking with God. I'm sure in the rest of the day, he worked. I don't know how it worked. But he had this relationship with God, but he had a destiny. He had a calling as well. He was busy doing, But with the whole of the Bible, the fall of man starts with this severance of this relationship between Adam and God because of the sin, because of the forbidden fruit that he ate. And the rest of the Bible is about this restoration of this relationship. It's about how God starts calling a nation, Abram and a nation starts calling him. It actually says, I always think of it, it said, in those days they started calling upon the name of the Lord. It's about this yearning of man to restore this relationship. God calling a person, bringing a Savior, Jesus Christ, and the church, which is the whole story is about the restoration of that severed relationship. The whole story is not about how when Adam got chucked out of the garden, God was worried about his garden not being tended. It's not about that. Otherwise, God would have written, and then Adam got chucked out of the garden, and the wheat started growing. The apples, no one watered the garden. Oh, my garden. And it's not about that. But so many times, we focus so much on that. Our calling, not our destiny. The whole of the Bible is about the restoration of a relationship of a loving God to his children. Okay, and that hasn't changed. That's the story of the Bible, and it's the story of our lives. When we live, that's where our life comes from, and from that life, we live the rest of our life. Okay, so we're getting closer to something. Jesus elaborated to this when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. And that's the life that we were called to. We were called to live from a relationship of God. If I can live, and I'm going to preach to myself. Sometimes I live, and I don't need God the way I live. I can do some of the things just by myself. I can start doing the things that I'm strong at, getting more independent from God. Because since the fall came from independence. God said, you shall not eat from the fruit. And then the devil said, if you eat from it, you'll become like God, discerning good from evil. And that fallen nature is within us. I want to start doing things. I can live independently from God. I can start saying, I can choose whether this is good for me or not. I'm not going to live from a relationship where God determines what's good or bad for me. And that fallen nature sits within us. And if we leave ourselves, we're going to slip towards that, where we start living independently. So I could start seeing my world as a husband, as a businessman, as a father, as my circumstances in South Africa. I could start seeing this as my destiny. I start slipping into this place where my reality, my job becomes my experience of everything. And if I look at this world and it's not as nice as it is, or getting shaken by corona, I start rattling. What's happening here? I don't like this anymore. And all of a sudden, I feel that's the quality of my relationship with God as well, because it's determined by my circumstances. My circumstances and my calling and the way that I live starts determining the way I see God. I'm so thrown by the amount of emotions, experiences that I start thinking about, the weight of the influence on that in my life. All my boxes get shaken when that happens to me. And I've experienced that with the whole thing. Everything changes, the way we do church, the way that we're together, the way that everything yearns back, the way that we used to sing, and there's like praise and worship, and now we're standing here with masks, and it's a different thing. And the Israelites were a very good example of that. I mean, when God saved them out of Israel, I was speaking about this restoration, and when God called this nation out of Israel, they were saying, no, we don't want to go. We miss the leeks and the garlic and the fish. Okay? And I'll get you later. We miss that from Egypt, and everything they wanted to go back, but God had a journey with them, and the journey in this journey he was shaping them, because I'll get a bit more to that. But God is busy shaping each and every one of us through our circumstances. And if you think about Israel, they were a bunch of escaped slaves when they left Egypt, and when they arrived at the promised land, they were an army that put the fear into everyone in their path. They were a nation powerful. They became the most powerful nation. And God shaped them through a journey in the desert. And even the same way with us, God is shaping us through this journey. Let me put it to you this way. If God was not interested in the journey, then why didn't he just, when we got saved, just immediately let us pass away and pull him up to heaven with him? What's the use of this life on earth? I want to say to you, the purpose of life on earth is twofold. Well, at least twofold. It's accomplishing God's purposes through us. It's our calling. And also God molding us. The same with the disciples. But if you just take that example of the nation, how God molded them through a walk in the desert to become this nation. Now, a lot of times I start thinking, and I think, okay, I can see what God's going to do. So I start having this view. God's going to do this. You know, He saved me now. I've got this family and kids, and then we're going to do this and this. And I start plotting this course. And I forget that it's me walking with God, not God walking with me. And then when my plan doesn't really plot out that way, I start worrying. Oh, is God not with me anymore? I actually become this master of my own destiny with God as my main tool to achieve it. And when God's not working as I think He should, then I start doubting Him. Jeez, God, you said we must be a church of 5,000 people. Now we 49 sitting in a room. Is like, are you not with me? Or like, I don't believe you anymore. No, I don't believe you anymore. Rather than following God and walking with Him. And if you take that example for the disciples, they thought Jesus was coming. He was the Messiah. They recognized parts of it. But they thought this was going to play out on earth. He's going to liberate the Jewish nation from the Roman Empire. And they are going to be restored to the times of David. The temple's going to be built up, and they're going to be the chosen nation. And here, this Messiah is trying to explain to them many times, even to a point where Peter says, God, that may not happen, that will not happen. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You're mindful of the things of men, not the things of God. And Jesus has a completely different plan. He dies on the cross. He saves not only the Jewish nation, but all of us. And so many times, if we can just follow after God's plan, we'll be in a much better state of mind. But it does take us to be able to adapt to what God's doing and walking with God through circumstances and focusing on that relationship and not asking God to join all our plans. And you know, I was thinking, you know, just of this example of Adam in the garden. Adam didn't go and say, okay, let me see how much vegetables, what's my crop and my yield. Okay, I'm getting a good crop. Okay, so my relationship with God must be good. He walked with God in the cool of the morning, and from that place of relationship went and did the job that God gave him. I mean, if there was a storm, I'm sure he must have thought, okay, the master of the garden wants this storm now, and I'll just work with it because I've just spoken to him this morning. He would have said, if he had a problem with me, if he was punishing me through a storm, he probably would have said that to me because he's in a close relationship with God. And I think that's the type of life I believe God is calling me for, is a relationship that when there's a storm, that I know I'm in the example of the one's been preaching on. I'm in the boat with Jesus. He's told us to go to the other side. There's a storm. He knows about the storm. If he's sleeping in the boat, I need to relax. He's got everything. Now, starting my walk with God. Now, one of the things that's fundamental in starting your walk with God is being reborn. And just in thinking about this, and I saw a picture in preparing. God calls us from death into life. And I've got this picture of parents and parents having given birth, born to a stillborn baby. And that child's got no life in it. And then life comes into that baby. Imagine the exuberance, the joy of these parents. This baby that was stillborn now has got life in it. And you can start relating to the baby. You can start feeding it. You can start interacting. You get cries, and you're just overjoyed that this dead child has come to life. And sometimes we focus so much on what God has done for us in terms of saving us from hell that we don't realize what the Bible says, how God feels about us. And I believe God, every one of us are stillborn babies. We come into this life dead to God. The moment we give our life to Jesus, we become alive to Him. Before that, we're stillborn babies to Him. When we accept Jesus Christ and He's paid the ransom for our lives, we become alive to Christ. We become sons and daughters of Christ. And there's a life, there's a relationship, and there's a joy that God experiences. Deuteronomy, even the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, it says, the Lord's portion
is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. So in other words, God is not saying, I want the nicest parts of Switzerland and the Karoo and the Drakensberg, that's my portion. He's got the stars, he's got the heaven, he's got everything, but he's choosing us people as his portion. We are his portion. That's what he's waiting for. The culmination of the era is going to be when he restores everything and he lives with people. We are his children. We are not just some pet project or some hobby he's created. We are his children, and he loves each and every one of us dearly. And he says in verse 10, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Each and every one of us, he keeps us as the apple of his eye. He loves each and every one of us. So in as much as we can so celebrate the fact that we've been saved from death to life, from a destiny of hell to heaven, as much as we can celebrate that, I believe we've got a God that loves us more than that, that celebrates each and every one of our lives. And if we don't understand that at rebirth, we're going to walk through life, and if things hit us, we're going to think, oh, I'm not loved. Oh, maybe I'm collateral damage. Maybe I'm not here. Maybe I'm not there. I believe it's very important to start your walk on the right footing. And that footing is that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And that's our identity. Amen. Important ingredients of walking with God. This walk with God is not possible if we don't have faith. Faith has many aspects to it, but faith is basically, what's that thing where you say it's a business of making the truth reality. There's a truth that God loves us. It's not always visible, but I can make it a reality and live in a way such as you can see that I believe God loves me. So if something bad happens to me and less pleasant things, I can say Romans 8:28. I believe that God will let even the things that are not pleasant now work together for my benefit. That's faith. That's a portion of faith. There's different aspects of faith. There's faith in the way that you raise your kids. There's faith in the way that you live as an unmarried man or woman and keeping yourself poor. There's there's faith in the way that you do your job, that you live your life, that anything. There's different aspects to it. But you can't walk with God if you don't have faith. You need hope. Because we hope in a better future. We hope in the return of our King. We hope in an eternal kingdom. There's love. We live in love towards God. One of the main aspects just of love applying to our relationship to God is love believes the best. If things happen to us on earth that's not so lacquer, we still believe the best. God loves me. He said it in his word. I believe it. And because he loves me, I will love the people around me. There's patience. It's a difficult one, but that's part of our walk with God. We need to have patience, because inevitably, when I read the Bible, I see things take much longer than the people anticipated. I mean, they thought they were going to be in the promised land in about 2 weeks, and it took them 40 years. So that's just some of the examples. I mean, even the apostles, they were thinking Jesus was going to come back. They lived in some stage as if Jesus was coming back in their lives. And we've learned now that we need to live that way, but sometimes it takes patience. If he doesn't come back in my life, I still need to endure. Things that could prevent us from walking with God. Obviously, the first thing is rebirth. If you're not reborn, you can't walk with God. You won't be in that relationship. Unbelief can prevent us from walking with God. Unforgiveness, bitterness. So one of the things, we've been in a court case with a land claims court case for more than 5 years. It's not a lack of thing to go through, and bitterness is the enemy. You can so quickly start thinking these people are the enemy. They're not the enemy. The fight is not for the land. The fight is for my heart, and it's Satan wanting to become bitter and sever your relationship with God. My applying of faith for that is, you know what, I believe, even though whatever happens there, I believe God will let it work for the good of me, because that's what he promises in his word. And so we can apply it in any aspect of our lives, but because if we become bitter about things that happen to us on earth and unforgiving,
the damage is not what we suffer through that person. That's part of the damage. The damage is the severance of this relationship, because bitterness and unforgiveness will affect your relationship with God, and it will stop you from walking with God. I'm almost finished. Because the destination is not as important of the journey, God can change course quickly, because He's molding us. So don't get too set on your destination and my destination. So it doesn't mean that we sit and do nothing, and we sit as Christians, we just sit at God's feet and we just sit at this relation. That's not what it means. If you take the example of Adam, he walked with God in the morning and he still tended the garden. You can't just sit. I mean, if I've got kids, I'd love them and I love to spend time with them, but I also tell them to go and do their work and go and do their chores and whatever. You don't want this lopsided. That's not lopsided. So please don't hear what I'm not saying. God still wants us to live in faith and walk in faith, but it starts from a relationship with Him. And I believe one of the things, you know, even Adam walking with God in the cool of the morning, I believe that you start your day with time with God. That's how you start your day. It sets the whole day. You pray for the day. You walk into the day. Don't expect to walk with God if you've not spent time with Him, because He needs to be, He's a person. We need to spend time with Him. I also want to qualify that if things are going wrong because of outright sin, I'm not referring to that. If you're a married man and you're in an adulterous relationship and things start falling apart in your job or everything, don't start thinking, you know, God's letting it work to the better. There are consequences for sin. So I'm not referring to that. So I just want to qualify it very, very strongly there. So God can do two things or multiple things at the same time. But the two things I'm referring to is he can shape us while He accomplishes His purposes on earth. And we need to have faith to praise Him in the midst of these things, even though we feel like it's not our plan, it's not our ideal that we wanted. We can keep praising Him and saying, "You are good, you love me, and I'm your son, I'm your daughter." And there's a poem that I just want to read to you first before I finish off. And it's a beautiful thing about how God works with people. And if I read a man, please read into it. Women as well. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when He yearns with all His heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, watch His methods, watch His ways, how He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects, how He hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay, which only God understands, while His tortured heart is crying, and He lifts beseeching hands, how He bends but never breaks, when His good He undertakes, how He uses whom He chooses, and with every purpose fuses him, by every act induces him to try His splendor out. God knows what He's about. And I think that's the experience that we sometimes have, but He will never break us. In closing, I'm going to say that I want us to, I want us to stand in a circle, and the musicians are going to play for us, and we're going to pray together like an old school prayer meeting, and because I want us to respond to God, and I don't know how long it's going to carry on, but I want us to respond to God, and I want us to be focusing in two areas. I think the one is thanking God for His involvement in our lives, and just thanking Him that He's a loving Father, that He wants a relationship with us, that he's not put us as pawns on a chessboard, but that He wants us as children of the Most High. And one of the things, I'll give you an example of what my confession or my repentance can be. If you look at parents, I don't know, there's none such parents in this church, but if you look at bad parenting, sometimes the parents put their kids away to boarding school, or if they divorce, they don't spend time with the kids. They just send them gifts and don't spend time with them and just give them sort of cares for them, sends them money and sends them stuff and not interested. Whereas if you're a good parent, like I believe, then Bernard will testify to that. Sometimes it's very irritating when he lies on the couch and says, get off the couch, you've slept enough, now you need to do this, go pick up the dog poo, go and do your homework. It's very irritating for him, I'm sure. He told me that. But one day he's going to thank me. And I must confess that sometimes I yearn for in my relationship to God to have that distant parent relationship. I just want God to give me what I need and leave me alone. That's what I sometimes want. And where I experience God much more as a father shaping me and molding me, and it's not that nice always. And I need to confess and say, God, forgive me. I know Bernard's going to one day say, I'm so thankful my God, my father didn't just send me money, maintenance money and gifts, and he was involved in my life. And I know one day I'm going to look back from heaven and say, thank you, God, that you were actively involved in my life, although it doesn't feel like that this way. So that's the type of thing that I want to thank God, that he's an active father, that he's actively involved in our lives, and that he is more concerned about the relationship between me and him than what he is about my circumstances. Amen. Okay. Guys, so I'm going to lead us in prayer the first one. So if you can just move your chairs away, and we can stand in a circle, and you can keep your social distancing. And can I ask us, I'm going to put this mic here. Can I ask us to make two circles, so inner and outer circle, just so that we're closer, because I don't know if everyone's going to go to the mic. If you're welcome to go to the mic and pray, so let's just make another circle in between here. We can just go right around here, so we're a bit closer. So